Grace, mercy, and peace to you through our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you lonely? If so, you aren't the only one. Loneliness has reached epidemic levels in this world, and it's not only the COVID crisis that is to blame. Long before 2020 came around, people who study such things noted that more and more people were suffering from chronic loneliness. And it was taking a huge toll on physical and mental health. Leaders tried to get out ahead of it. The Japanese government appointed a Minister of Loneliness to try and reduce loneliness and social isolation among its residents as the country dealt with rising suicide rates. People have worked to solve the loneliness issue in a variety of ways. One company designed a robot to hold someone's hand when they're lonely. And one man charges people to simply sit with them and do nothing except keep them company. Experience would say there are quite a few people who are officially hired to cook, to clean, to provide health care, or manage the books, whose bigger job is simply to provide company for someone who is lonely. You know, you don't need a degree to figure out that loneliness is no fun and that people need to know they are valued and included by others. We all get that. We're social creatures. But the worst kind of loneliness would be spiritual loneliness. It's feeling abandoned by God. And I've got the privilege today to remind you, thanks to Jesus, that this will never happen. No matter how lonely you may feel at times, you are never truly alone. Jesus' disciples needed to hear that message too. For 3 long years, they were honored to be handpicked for his team. They had come to rely on his wisdom, to follow his path day after day, to count on his protection from demons and storms, and to drink up his words like a thirsty camel might drink from a pool in a desert oasis. But this night, he's talking more clearly than ever about leaving them, and they are terrified of being left alone without him. In John chapter 14, we hear his compassionate voice, comforting them and making promises about their future when he returns to his heavenly home. So let's listen in, verse by verse, as he instructs them. He begins, "If you love me, keep my commands." The things Jesus talks about the night before his death are the most crucial, most important for his disciples to hear before he leaves. And what does he say? "Show your love for me. Keep my commands." To keep is to guard, like a soldier guarding the gate, keeping watch, protecting it with his life. Why was this so crucial, so important to Jesus? This final evening, together before his death, has been called Maundy Thursday. The word is derived from a word meaning command. This was an evening of several commands. Think of some of them. "Now that I have washed your feet," he said, "you also should wash one another's feet. A new command I give you, love one another. Believe in me when I say, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Trust in God, trust also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remember the words I spoke to you. You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Take heart, I have overcome the world." What commands these are! They aren't like Moses' commands designed to condemn the sinner and expose his faults and drive people to seek a Savior. No, these are Jesus' life-giving gospel commands for those who have already come to know the Savior. They are of an entirely different spirit and character, calling his disciples to an ever deeper level of trust and understanding and preparing them for his departure. They are companions for life, offering hope and encouragement and life. They are apples of gold in settings of silver. They ring in the heart with comfort and life. Don't listen to Satan, who wants to rob you of Jesus' sweet voice in your ears and living in and through your hands and your mind and your mouth. You love him. Keep his commands close to your heart, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. He goes on, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." It's not enough that Jesus gives us his words. He also allows us to taste of the reality of the Holy Spirit himself. Here, Jesus calls this third member of the Godhead the advocate, like a counselor at law, an attorney who advises and guides, the Spirit of Truth. The rest of the world can't understand this Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost. But for God's child, this Spirit is the oxygen in our lungs, the blood in our veins, the energy in our muscles, the signals firing in our nervous system. He is as real as anything we have ever experienced. It's just hard to explain the kind of hope and energy he breathes into us to someone who hasn't received him. Maybe a short story will help. A young woman in England many years ago always wore a golden locket that she would not allow anyone to open or look into. And everyone thought, there must be some romance connected with that locket. And in that locket must be the picture of the one she loved. Finally, the young woman died at an early age. And after her death, the locket was opened. Everyone wondering whose face he would find within. And in the locket was found simply a little slip of paper with these words written on it: "Whom having not seen, I love." Her Lord Jesus was the only lover she knew and the only lover she longed for, courtesy of the Holy Spirit. She had never seen him, but she loved him. And it was a love given her by Jesus and his Father in heaven. You know what that's like, don't you? You've never seen God, never seen an accurate picture of Jesus. Yet he lives in your heart, giving you hope and peace. And you can never be the same. Having not seen him, you love him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious hope that others might just wish they could have. Jesus continues comforting his frightened, confused friends. "I will not leave you as orphans," he said. "I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Being an orphan in this world would be a terrifying experience. In war-torn countries around the globe, parents are being killed every day, and hundreds of thousands of poor children are left to themselves, trying to salvage food to eat, or a warm place to sleep, or maybe a way to care for a little brother or sister. Maybe at times you have even felt like God has orphaned you, leaving you alone to find your way in this world and get by. But do you hear Jesus' promise? "I will not do that to you. I will not orphan you, even if for a little while I will not physically be in your presence. By faith, you will see me risen from the grave, and I will always have my eyes on you. And because I live forever, you have eternal life as well." Let me share another story that might help make the point. Author Dallas Willard, who lost his mom as a young child, writes of a little boy whose mother had died. He was especially sad and lonely at night. He would come into his father's room and ask if he could sleep with him. And even then, he could not rest until he knew not only that he was with his father, but that his father's face was turned toward him. "Father, is your face turned toward me now?" he would ask. "Yes," his father would say, "you are not alone. I am with you. My face is turned toward you." When at last the boy was assured of this, only then he could rest. Dallas Willard concludes, "How lonely life is. Oh, we can get by in life with a God who does not speak. Many at least think they can do so. But it's not much of a life, and it is certainly not the life God intends for us, or the abundance of life Jesus came to make available. We need his face. Do you realize that God has turned his face toward you? That's exactly what we are reminded of each week when we close the service with the blessing, using the very words God commanded Moses and Aaron to speak to their generation. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And with his face turned toward you and his blessed word, you too can close your eyes and rest. He wraps up this precious paragraph this way: "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." And so we hear Jesus connecting the circle of his thought to his frightened disciples. If you love me, keep my commands, stay close to me, and carry out my saving work in this world. Then I will send you my advocate, my Holy Spirit, to be with you, to comfort you and guide you into all truth. I won't leave you as orphans. You'll actually see me by faith, live with me forever, and have my Father's face turned toward you. And you'll continue to keep my commands. And the process continues until you are in heaven by my side. God is glorified. We are blessed with his presence. What you have here is God's recipe for perfect contentment in a world that works hard to tempt you not to be content with simply God's presence. If I might, I think of any number of older people who I know who seem perfectly content to be alone in this world. Long gone are the days when they have to go to parties or socialize with friends on the weekend. In fact, most of their friends are gone. Their house is quiet, and others might find their life very dull and unfulfilled. And yet, they can still sit in the quiet of their home or apartment, perhaps reading their Bible or a devotion book, or quietly singing a hymn verse, or praying to their God in their own private world. Someone might say, "Aren't you lonely?" And the answer might welcome back, "No, my Jesus is with me, and that's company enough." I wish that for you, my friends. When your heart is yearning for friendship, when it seems like others have turned their back on you, or even when it seems like God isn't there, don't ever forget his gracious smile turned toward you. Maybe that's what the hymn writer was trying to say when he wrote the song. "Our Savior never leaves his own as orphans, hungry and alone. He promises with certainty, I am in you and you in me. Such precious gifts do not disdain. Do not receive God's grace in vain, but cherish as his children true the hope of glory, Christ in you." In this world of sorrow and loss, it's quite possible that you are lonely. Maybe friends have turned their back on you. Maybe loved ones have been taken from you in death. Maybe you feel like you don't have a friend in the world. But if you have Christ, you have his Father and the Holy Spirit. You have his precious word of truth. You have a living faith, growing and bearing the fruit of love and hope. Jesus is by your side, and having him, you are never, ever alone. Amen.